Hi, this is Alan Chartok. I'm here with Congresswoman-elect Claudia Tenney of New York's 22nd District. I want to ask you about a lot of stuff, but first, you're on your way out of the New York State legislature, where you labored in the minority Republicans in the Assembly, which is akin to real pain for a lot of people. So right now, the big debate, I wrote a column on it for this week, is whether legislators should get a pay raise. I wonder where you come down on that one.
My big issue with the Assembly, and as the problem we have in New York, is that we have taken what was once a part-time job and really turned it into somewhat of a full-time job. So now we have session from January until June. You know, interesting that like the state of Texas doesn't meet every year to talk with their legislature. They're very part-time. So I don't advocate a pay raise because I really don't think the state legislature has done what it should do in helping New York. I think when people say, oh, well, you know, we should make them professional and give them a, you know, full, make it a full-time legislature, I think you're just going to double down and get more career politicians in. I'd like us to go back to the model we had before. You know, you have a 3-month session, and then once the budget is passed, it's over. You go back and you don't burden the citizens with many more pieces of legislation. And there's a couple of reasons why. We introduced 12,000 bills in a term, and on average in New York State. I was interested to know that in the Congress, they introduce, in one Congress, they'll introduce a couple thousand. That's nationally. So obviously we're introducing way too many bills, and we're spending way too much time on one House bills and bills that have no significance. Another interesting thing, and the contrast is, you know, I've done this since my first day in the New York State Assembly, is I propose reforms, not just legislative reforms like cutting back the 6 months to a 3-month session, but also cutting the pay in half, moving legislators away from a pension system and putting them into a 401k like system, or at least having, you know, that option for them. Those are things that I would call our reforms. But another really interesting thing that I noticed, just a huge contrast between say Congress and the state assembly, which is why I think so much corruption is there and why you have this leader dominated assembly, is that, for example, as a member of Congress, I get the same type of member allotment for my staff and my expenses as a senior member or a Democrat or anyone else. Not so in the state assembly. It's all done based on seniority. So what happens is the leadership says, hey, we want you to vote a certain way here. And they're like, well, I can't. I need to vote, you know, the way that my constituents want me to vote. And they'll say, well, we'll give you another $50,000 for your payroll or whatever it is. And I have always proposed, I have a series of reforms that I put out over and over, a number of things to change the rules of the assembly, but also to change the legislature. And that would be to put us all on the same place where leadership can't use, you know, carrots and sticks, like, well, I'm going to give you, you know, an increase in your allotment, or I'm going to control this based on your voting. I think each member should be individual, just like they are in the Congress. I think that would be a start. And it would prevent all this, you know, really seniority-based and not merit-based performance out of the legislators. And so that's just something I noticed right away, the difference in Congress is, you know, the ability, you know, I come from a district that has more constituents than most people in New York City, but they have much more payroll and they have a lot more that they get because they're, you know, because they're in the majority. Also, I have the longest and most difficult district geographically in the state. So for me, I have to pay for all of my driving up and down the thruway, 3.5 hours from one end to the other of my district, out of my own pocket, which makes it, you know, luckily I can afford to handle it, but it makes it very costly, which is another reason that they shouldn't allow this kind of gerrymandering. If we had conformed with the state constitution and had districts that, as the constitution states, are striving toward compactness or being compact, I wouldn't have this district that's 7 counties and 1 town wide, stretching from Utica to Orange County, almost to Newburgh. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that goes on in the assembly because we don't have a fairness in the rules. Each member is not given a fair shot at representing their district. And I think that's would be a starting point of rules I would implement.
Well, I do.
I've tried, but.
Okay. I do agree with a great deal of what you're saying, but I wanted to ask you something about Governor Cuomo and the Congress you're going into have a real limit on how much outside income any person can make. And I'm wondering how you feel about that proposal.
Well, the problem is, if you're, you know, I believe in the concept that Jefferson had of the citizen legislator, and I do believe it. I think it's much more, I'm much more interested in seeing someone experienced, whether they're a farmer or a police officer, or as I indicated, I have some physicians, I have a couple of generals, a Navy SEAL, a double amputee, the police chief in Orlando, who I met, was an impressive Democrat that I met, you know, throughout our freshman orientation. Those types of people are people I'd like to see who have you know, real-world experience coming into these positions. When you move to a professional legislature, you're going to get professional career politicians, many of whom have never worked in the private sector, who are going to be imposing rules and regulations and laws to people who are trying to survive in the real world. And I do think, you know, recognizing that is something that I care about. So when you increase the pay and make them exclusively legislators, I think it's a problem. Congress is a little bit different animal. It's national. You're going back and forth. But remember, we get a pay amount, but you have to pay for your own housing in D.C., which is not cheap. And that's why you see many legislators living in their office. I'm not someone who really wants to live in my office. Of course, I got a bad office drawing, so I'm up on the fifth floor cannon, which they call like the freshman dorm.
I know it will.
So, but it's actually kind of quaint in its own way. But I just am concerned about moving to a professional legislature, and it is hard to limit outside income. We've done everything we can, but it doesn't seem to stop the corruption, does it?
Yes, but how you make a very good point there. I mean, yeah. We know that Shelley Silver is accused of having used his office to make more money in his law firm and the rest. So I'm asking, isn't that the other side of limiting it, so people don't come and say, okay, I'm going to hire this lawyer or his firm or her firm because they'll get me a better deal, and they'll really put my husband or wife to the test?
Right. Well, I don't think you have to limit outside income to put ethical people into office. I said, you know, there's a set of ethics rules that were blatantly violated. I mean, that's what the actual situation with Shelley Silver. There are a lot of people who make a lot of outside income who don't violate the ethics rule. So, you know, when somebody violates the ethics rule, the answer isn't just to say, oh, we just can't have outside income because these children can't take care of themselves. You know, you have to enforce the ethics rule when they happen, and we often don't do that. And I feel like we have, in my 6 years in the state assembly, it seems like almost every year the governor comes in for big headlines and says, we are going to enact historic ethics reform, and then right after we do his historic ethics reform, we create J. Cope back in 2011. Sheldon Silver goes and bypasses our ethics laws and gives a secret payout to the sexual harassment claims against Vito Lopez. So a bright line violation of our ethics rule. And quite honestly, that was just sitting there. I was the first person to come out and say, hey, this is wrong. You can't preside over our house if you can't comply with the governor's historic ethics rule, which, by the way, you were the sponsor of the bill. That's where enforcing our ethics law has to happen. And you need people that have the will and the ability to do that. Let me come back to, if each legislator had the same number, the same amount of allotment to provide for their communities with through their staff or whatever they get, just like they do in Congress, they would be more independent-minded. They would be more able to stand up to people like Sheldon Silver or Dean Skelos or whoever the leadership is, instead of being beholden to them. And I think a lot of the problems actually are in the structure and the rule set in the Assembly. And I will take my hats off to the Senate. They have changed some of their rules, though I don't know if they've gone far enough. They're much more open house, and they are much more, less leader-dominated than the state assembly is.
Okay, it's great to talk to Claudia Tenney, New York's 22nd newest congressperson. Again, Claudia, congratulations on your
win.
Thank
you so much.
And when we come back again, I'm going to give you two tough ones. Gun rights and abortion policy.